Take your copy of God's Word and open with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Put your finger there or a mark there and also go to Isaiah chapter 9. So we'll be in Philippians chapter 4 primarily, but going to read a verse here in Isaiah chapter 9 in just a moment to get starting. So I want to remind our boys and girls about your December sermon notebooks. I hope you all have one there for you. Let me remind you, you take notes this month as we are during our Advent sermons, and there'll be a little mailbox over across the street in January where you can turn those in and get a little treat for taking notes during the sermons this month. So again, let me remind the bigger boys and girls in the room, you also have notes back there on the podium, but no treats for filling them out, okay? But do want to make those available to you. Last week, we started our Advent season and our Advent series where we are trying to, the best we can, theme our services around these certain themes of Advent. As we prepare to celebrate the coming of our Lord, which is what Advent means, just means coming, and we celebrate the first coming of the Lord those thousands of years ago, we want to focus our hearts and minds on what that means for us. And so last week, as we lit the candle of hope, we talked about hope that we have, a certain hope in God. Today, as you've seen, we lit the Advent candle of peace and have been singing about and focusing on the peace that God provides for us and gives us. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, which is where I had you turn, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is this popular or famous, if you will, passage or promise about the Messiah that was going to come. And here's what we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, in the coming of the Messiah, as Israel was looking forward to the coming of the one who God had promised. And we saw last week that that promise is what we put our hope in. That promise, that very first promise in Genesis chapter 3, that there would the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent and make right all the things that had been made wrong by sin. This promise is about this child, the same seed that was promised in Genesis 3 here in Isaiah 6. We see this child is going to be born, this son is going to be given, and he is going to be these things to us, and one of those is the Prince of Peace. And so as we celebrate the coming of this Messiah, the one that Isaiah promised, the one that he told us, the one that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking on behalf of God, told us would come, as we celebrate that and as we do that, we want to recognize that the Messiah didn't just come, the seed of the woman from Genesis 3 didn't just come to rescue us from something, but he came to rescue us to something or for something. He didn't just rescue us from our sins and put us in a neutral position, if you will, but he rescued us so that we might be a certain type of people, that we might be his people, and that certain things would be true of us as we find ourselves in him. And one of those things, now there's many things that we could say he rescued us to, or that he rescued us for. We can put lots and lots of things in that blank, if you will. But one of those things is so that we might have ultimate peace. One of the things that God did in sending his son to rescue us from sin was not just to take us out of darkness, but to put us in his marvelous light, as the New Testament tells us. And in that light, as we walk in that light, we can have ultimate peace. We can have a peace different than all of the rest of the world has. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He doesn't just give us peace. That's not just one of his attributes, but it's who he is. This Messiah child that's promised, being the Prince of Peace is who he is for us. So as we walk in him, we can have that ultimate peace. So today I want us to look at Philippians chapter 4. So if you'd turn there, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to see what we can learn about this peace that God wants us to have. This peace that God has saved us for, that the Messiah came to deliver us to. The first thing I want us to see in Philippians chapter 4 is this, the plan for peace. There's a plan for peace. If we're going to have this peace, the scriptures here in Philippians 4, Paul is going to list for us a few attributes, a few actions that ought to be exemplified in our life if we're going to be the kind of people that pursue peace. And by pursuing peace, that means pursuing Jesus, right? Because he is the Prince of Peace. So if we're going to do that, we need to have a plan for that. There's a plan laid out here for how we do that. And we see it here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. So look with me as we read Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there are four things here that we can do that will guide us towards peace. There are four things, there are four attributes or characteristics or whatever you want to call them, that we need to exemplify in our life that we can be certain, and we're going to see this certainty here in the next verse, but we can be certain that if we will do these things, it will bring about this peace in our lives, this ultimate peace that God wants to bring. There are four that we see here in these verses. The first is this, that we ought to rejoice in the Lord. We ought to rejoice in the Lord. We ought to have joy. And now that's next week's candle. We'll talk more about joy next week. But we ought to have joy in the Lord. And it tells us to always have this. All right, look at that again. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, rejoicing is different than happiness, right? Happiness is this feeling, this kind of fleeting thing that comes and goes. It ebbs and flows based on circumstances, based on activities, based on what kind of day you're having, right? If you woke up on the wrong side of the bed or not. Happiness is just fluctuating and fleeting. But joy is a choice. Joy is something we can set our minds on and say, I will rejoice in the Lord. And that's the significant part here of this verse. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. This isn't just a kind of random, sporadic, like, oh yeah, I'm going to be joyful and jolly all the time, or I'm going to pretend that I've got it all together, or everything's fine, or all that. No, the focus, the emphasis, the what we ought to narrow our joy in on, our focus in on, and our rejoicing is the Lord for what he has done for us. You see, if we rejoice and be thankful for what God has done, then our circumstances, while they might be difficult at times, we can, while our circumstances change and are difficult at times, what God has done for us doesn't change. When we anchor our joy to something unchanging, then when a changing world around us is doing its thing like it always does, we can anchor our joy to that unchanging, to our unchanging God. We can't have peace and not be thankful. We can't have peace if we're not thankful to the Lord. If we're not rejoicing in what the Lord has done, if we're not focusing on him, if we're focusing on ourselves and our circumstances and our situations, if we're focusing on our family, if we're focusing on earthly things, we are not going to find peace. We aren't going to find that, but we're only going to find it if we are focusing and rejoicing in the Lord. The second characteristic that in this plan for peace, if you want to live out these characteristics that will bring about peace in your life, the second thing we need to do is this. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Again, I didn't get real creative with these, just plagiarizing the Bible, okay? Just saying what God says. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. What Paul is talking about here is unity, right? It's easy for humans in our sinful state to think about ourselves first. In fact, it's natural in our sinful state to think about ourselves first, to look at our interests first. In fact, earlier in Philippians, Paul has already dealt with this in Philippians chapter 2. He says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And so Paul has already kind of said to the Philippians, look at the interest of others, count others as more significant than yourself, count their needs as more important than your own. And then here in Philippians 4, when he's talking about peace, the peace that God gives us, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your, that you're a reasonable, rational thinker, right? You're not a person that's going to fly off the handle or be coveting what others have or to be divisive amongst other people. We can't have peace and be divisive. You can't do that. You can't have inner peace and be at peace with the Lord and be at odds with your brother or your sister in Christ. You can't do it. Those things can't cohabitate. They can't exist together. And then Paul throws this just little phrase in there at the end of this that kind of gives us a reason. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I believe what God's trying to say to us in his word here is that every day we are closer and closer and closer to the second coming. Right? The Lord is at hand. His coming is near. We don't know when that will be. So we ought to be, with that fact in mind that the Lord is at hand, we ought to be living reasonable amongst one another. We ought to be living at peace with one another. We ought to be living with one another in such a way that isn't divisive, that isn't backbiting or fighting or grumbling or complaining, but at peace. Because do we really want to be found by the Lord? Do we want him coming back and finding us in the midst of conflict with one another when there's a lost and dying world around us that needs the gospel? And I think the answer is a resounding no. We don't want him to find us that way. We don't want to be found doing that. We want to be found as reasonable people and letting that reasonableness be known to everyone. James gives us a similar warning in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 9. James chapter 5, verse 9. James tells us, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You see, our judge is coming back, our king is coming back, and we want to be found by him, being reasonable people with one another, with the world around us. We want to be found by Jesus doing his great commission, doing the work he's called us to, not divisive and against one another. Again, we can't have peace if we're living that way. We can't have peace if everything's a battle and a fight. The third thing we can do on this plan for peace is to not be anxious about anything. Again, right there in these verses we read in Philippians 4, not be anxious about anything. You see, we let our anxieties rule us. We let our worries and concerns overtake us. We think about all the bad things that could happen, all the negative that's out there in the world. We look at the global media and we get downcast and downtrodden and worried, and we just go, this whole place is a mess. And everything's awful and everything's terrible and it's never going to get better. And we worry about things we can't control. We worry about things outside of what we're able to do, and what we let it do is paralyze us and bring us fear. And I'm not saying there's not legitimate worries or concerns about life. I'm not saying there aren't legitimate things to consider and think about and plan. But what I am saying is, if we let things cripple us that we can't control, we can't have peace in our lives. We can't live at peace while at the same time letting fears overtake us. That was mentioned in our Advent reading this morning about how fear is kind of the enemy of peace. When we live in fear, we can't live at peace. And Jesus gives us clear teaching on this in Matthew chapter 6. I found this passage to be so comforting to me in times of uncertainty and worry. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, starting in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Of which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, we get caught up in the day-to-day, week-to-week worries about every little thing, and I would dare say that 99% of those are outside of our control, and we are robbing ourselves of peace. You're robbing yourself of this ultimate peace that God wants you to live life with. So, that leads us to the fourth point here under our plan for peace. Let your requests be made known to God. Look at Philippians 4 again. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." With prayer, with thanksgiving, with supplication, instead of worrying about and focusing on things we can't control. And that kind of encompasses, if you will, everything we've seen under this first point, right? If someone's being unreasonable with us, right? If there's conflict or division, if there are issues, things that we can't control, things outside of our sphere of influence, right? Things of the world that bring us anxiousness and anxieties, those things outside of our control, what we do is we take those to the person who can do something about them. You know, what I try to remind myself often in prayer is the reason that I'm praying something to God is because he can actually do something, right? I'm bringing to him situations and scenarios that I can't do anything about, that all of my might and all of my power and all of my money and all of my knowledge and all of whatever I have to myself, whatever I have, can't do anything about these situations, but I recognize that he can work in all of those situations. And that fits right here with peace. When we have a proper understanding of God, who came to earth as the Prince of Peace, right? The one we're following is the Prince of Peace. We pursue him, we rejoice in him. That's how we find peace. When we recognize who he truly is, the power he truly has, the love he truly has for us. And again, Jesus is telling us that in Matthew 6, what we just read. I mean, look at the birds. They don't harvest, they don't plan, they don't put food back. God feeds them. How much more does he care about you than them? Right? When we recognize the power and the love of God, then we make our requests known to him, and then we walk away from them. We leave them at his feet, and we don't take them with us, because then that's bringing that anxiety back on us. That's bringing that anguish back on us. That's bringing that worry back on us. We trust that he will work because he's told us he has. And so what we see here in Philippians 4 thus far is that to have peace, we need to be these kind of people. The plan for peace is to be the kind of people who rejoice in the Lord always, the kind of people that let our reasonableness be made known to God, the kind of people who don't let worry and anxiety and fear overtake us. And I want to pause here again just to make sure I'm making this point clear. You know, you can't stop yourself from how you feel, right? You can't control if that comes on you, right? The worry and the anxiety and the stress. What you can control is if you let it overtake you, right? If you let it control you, if you let it become the thing that rules everything else you do. We can't be overcome with fear. We can't be overcome with these worries of the world. We want to be the kind of people that push those onto the Lord and trust Him with those and make our request made known to Him. And if we are these kind of people, if this is the plan that we have for peace, if we are the kind of people that exhibit these characteristics and these traits, then look with me at verse 7 and we'll see point number 2 is that we receive perfect peace. If we are these kind of people, what we saw in verses 4 through 6, then we're going to see that verse 7 starts with the word and, meaning if these things are true, then this is also going to be true about you. If these four things, if you're the kind of person that rejoices and is reasonable and not anxious and makes your request known to God, then this will be true of you. Look with me at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If those are true of us, we will receive from God this perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace that is not able to be explained by the world. I believe that one of the biggest testimonies the people of God have is when we exhibit peace in suffering. When we suffer and go through trials and difficulties and disappointments, and we are able to, on the other side of those things, show the peace of God to a lost and dying world. That is the biggest witness we have, because the world knows that when they go through suffering and trials and difficulties, they don't experience that. That they aren't able to go through it with that. And when we do, when we model faithfulness to a lost and dying world around us, it gives us gospel opportunity. It gives us opportunity to say to people, you too can have this perfect peace from God. And it's nothing in the world, right? It's nothing that you can pursue on your own. It's nothing you can muster up within yourself. When you... Many, if not all of you, have probably experienced this at some point in your life, this peace that surpasses understanding. And what you recognize is people say, or you may have said of other people, I can't imagine how they are going through that with such peace. When we think about suffering and trials, we've seen people that way. And what we have to recognize is that's not that person's strength. That's not because that person's better than you somehow, or they can somehow muster up more peace than you can, or they can do something you can't. What we recognize is that peace comes from the Lord. It's supernatural, and it surpasses all human understanding. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to practice, if you will. We need to be the type of people that we saw in that plan of peace, so that when suffering comes, when trials come, when difficulties come, because it's not a matter of if they will come, but when they will come, we are ready to live as people of peace, to have this peace that God promises us, and it's from Him. It's a gift from Him that He gives us. And so as we have a plan for peace and we receive perfect peace, what we also see in verse 7 is that there's a product of peace. There's an outcome, there's a result of this peace that God gives us. And it's right there at the end of verse 7. If you'll, we'll look one more time at this verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when we live in this type of peace, when we are these kind of people, and God grants us by His grace and His goodness, He gives us this gift of this perfect peace that surpasses all understanding what he is doing is guarding our hearts and minds. Again, we can't do that ourselves. How do we protect our hearts and our minds from all of that worry and anxiety? How do we guard our hearts and our minds from losing faith when we're dealing with suffering? How do we guard our hearts and minds away from wanting to turn and run away from the Lord when things get hard or when we get bad news? And the answer is, we can't do that within ourselves. We don't do that ourselves. He guards those things for us. That work is the Lord's work. And when we try to step in and do His work, that's when troubles come. But when we make our request known to Him and lay those things on Him, He gives us peace and then He guards us. There isn't a special formula that you can do. This isn't some four-step plan where you go, hey, if you do those first four things, then you're guaranteed to whatever. This isn't something you can fake and manufacture on your own. This is from the Lord. It says right there, He will guard your hearts. God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so when you have Him, when you have Jesus in your life, and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and you're walking with Him in your daily walk, which is what a relationship with Christ is, then the work of peace is His. And as we go through difficulties in life, He will guide us and carry us and guard us and bring us and present us, is what the New Testament says. One day when He comes back and all things are made new, He will present for Himself His body, right, His bride, spotless, without blemish. He will do that for us. And so I want to ask, do you lack peace in this life? Do you lack this type of comfort and peace that only God can give when you go through suffering and difficulty? Because if you lack it, I want to say you can come to the Prince of Peace and He will give freely. He is the giving God who gives and gives and gives abundantly. We saw that when we were going through James, early in the book of James, when we saw if anyone lacks wisdom, we ask, right? And He gives. And the picture we saw there was this giving God who just loves to give and to give and to give over and over and over to His people. And if you are lacking peace, He wants to give and give and give this peace to you. And so in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of response. And this is a time where if you've never trusted Jesus before in your life, and maybe you're going through unimaginable tragedy or difficulties, maybe you're going through something in life and you're trying to go through it all alone, you're trying to carry that weight all alone on yourself, I'm here to tell you that Jesus says His burden is light, His yoke is easy. He wants to take that off of you and give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I would love to talk with you about what it means to repent of your sins, to put your faith in Him, and to follow Him all the days of your life. I'd love to also talk with you if you want to pray or want to talk about church membership. Maybe you're a believer and you just want to pray or talk. I'm here, but I want to encourage you to respond as God leads you in this time. So let's stand together as we pray. Lord, we're so thankful for the day You've given us. And I pray now that as we sing this song of response, as we take this time to consider Your word, Lord, that we would just look to You, that we would sense Your peace in our lives. We know that that's a good gift from You. Lord, just be with us now in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.